even for those who wrote and think that they've answered the question, don't be too certain. Because the self you have thought yourself to be doesn't actually exist. Oh, you exist, but not in the way you think. And not in the way you think it is like being you. I was both praised and abused for asking, what is it like being you? So the question is to you guys, why do you suppose that was? That I was both praised and abused for that question. The hell was wrong with that question?
Well, I think most people are so desperate to stay hidden in what they actually know is the answer to your question. They don't want to face that and don't want to reveal it. And they will revile you for forcing it and want to stay hidden.
Why abuse me? They can just shut up and not answer the question.
You ask the question. How dare you confront them?
I didn't confront anybody. I merely asked a generic question. You're only confronted if you answer the question.
And you're only confronted if you take it as a confrontation.
Oh, I know. But I'm describing how people will get to that point. They don't want that. They don't want to face that for themselves.
Yeah, but no matter what you may think, you cannot know yourself or affect a change to a new self in life unless you can mind new and different thoughts about new and different self in life. What does that mean? Does anybody know? What does it mean to you? You can't know yourself or change to a new self in life unless you can mind new and different thoughts about a new and different self in life.
Same stuff in, same stuff out.
No.
So unless you add something new to the mix, you still get the same thing.
We'll get into it later. In other words, why did I not say, unless you can think about a new self in life? Why do you think I said, unless you can mind new and different thoughts about a new and different self in life?
It's new ways of putting things together.
Promise. Loner self and what is it like being you are new and different thoughts to mind with. And your abiding self in life is a new and different concept to mind about. It is not a conclusion. It is a focus. See, you're thinking all the time. But thinking is not minding. I've said to you before. Minding is rearranging data and information.
Can we go backwards a bit?
Sure.
What is the utility then of talking about what it's like being me, speaking largely or almost exclusively as a loner body?
What? I don't know what...
Why did you ask the question if you completely understood that each one of us would speak from our loner body?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
Well, you brought up the subject of doing other than loner body, so why did you ask the question?
I didn't say anything other than that. I didn't say that at all. I was just listing things which are new and different thoughts that you can work with. And those new and different thoughts are promise, loner self, and what is it like being you? Those are all different thoughts. Rearrange them around a focus.
Now, then I have to ask the question then, what it's like being me, is that actually thinking?
Well, almost everybody gave me a thinking answer. And that's what I...
Well, that's the point. You talk about thoughts, and you also mention thinking, and you've told us that we don't know how to think.
Would I say that?
Yeah, you told us that we didn't know how to think.
No, what I said is, until thinking, you're just talking, you were just talking about yourself. Now I'm willing to say, without minding, you aren't even thinking. Could you understand that thinking is involved with memories and putting little pieces together to follow the subject, the pattern of language?
Yes.
And that minding is putting memory Y together in any form you want to do it. So I gave you a focus about what is it like being you. That gives you something to focus on. That's not a conclusion. What you do in language, you put pieces together to arrive at a conclusion. I'm giving you a focus to rearrange your thoughts about. But you can't think the same old thoughts and think you're going to get a different outcome. You're not going to. I'm trying in all of this, I'm trying to get you away from and off of thinking into minding. Does anybody have any concept of what I'm talking about? You're minding in wholes, you're thinking in pieces. And you're minding in wholes and rearranging those things as wholes around a certain focus. And those wholes are thoughts. You are thinking pieces, you're not thinking thoughts per se. You're thinking pieces and putting them on a pattern of language and hope to arrive at some damn conclusion.
So thinking is like memories.
Thinking is like memories S, and
minding
is like memory.
Is like
moving whole pictures or images around. And in that, then, that's like memory Y.
What would a whole picture look like?
A whole
around this focus.
A whole thought. What does promise as a thought look like? What does it look
right
like?
Right now, I don't have the foggiest idea.
Well, that's because you're not minding. You're trying to use promise and every definition of promise, and in every way you've heard it used before, you're trying to use promise to describe itself, and that ain't gonna work.
I think you're breaking up quite badly.
I am?
Yeah. You're starting to sound like that you're bottom of a very deep well.
Is that the same for everyone?
Yes.
Must be us, then.
Except for Misty.
Yes.
What?
I think it stopped. The phenomenon has ceased.
Well, maybe I should give my notes to Misty and let her read them.
Not now.
No, you're right. Clear again.
Sounds fine now, yeah.
Well, should I...
Go on.
Okay. She said, go on, so I will. So, could you not take a complete thought about promise and rearrange that together with abiding self or loner self or whatever, and come up with a an image of what we're talking about here? You're trying to use promise as a verb or a noun and fit it somewhere on the pattern of language and hope you can come up with a right answer or a right conclusion.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to take pieces and, right, and arrive at an understanding. Sounds like what you're saying is start with an understanding and see where it goes.
I'm starting with whole pictures.
I got you, right.
And I'm trying to...
Andrew, do you have a whole picture of promise?
No, I don't have a whole picture of promise. I, you know, have a few items from the past couple of weeks, but when I listened to Wade Rogers describing, I had a sense of that before.
But can
and
you,
it definitely...
Can you get a picture of promise, little that I have described it before, rather than just using it as a verb or a noun? Could you get a possibility, a picture of promise in your life, what it might be like?
You know, I would have said yes, except that what I catch myself doing is...
Well, what do you want promise, as a whole thought, what do you want promise to be? Can't you start there?
Well, actually, yeah, I guess I can. Promise would be like my identity. Promise would be like my way. No, wait, sorry. The abiding way of life for each person. But I need a particular of that to have a whole picture. Like a way, a pattern of action. And then I could move that action into any context and say, oh, in that context, that person or that way is...
We're not talking about it in a context. We're just talking about it in a particular focus.
Okay.
How might promise have something to do with what it is like being you?
To try to answer the question the way you asked it. So, what it might have, it would, it's like if I look at what someone does throughout their life, directly or trying to cause it or something, there's a central, a theme, a way around, like whether they're struggling with it or against it, there's sort of this thing you can see that's them, an identity, a way that I might say, well, through all this stuff, that seems to be constant. That's the promise.
Okay, here's another question. I guess everybody will get pissed off at this too. Is it possible you are preparing yourself for a new and different role in life?
That's really interesting.
And I'm asking you to mind about this, not think about it. What does this possibly mean to you? An actor in a play plays a part or a role, but it's not what he does that is it. He is... The actor has a role to play. Then what he does it about it is something else. But what you're doing is you're limiting your minding and life to language thinking. in little pieces, and trying to put the pieces together and arrive at a conclusion. And like we said last week, life is a journey, not a conclusion. If you're minding all the time, you can maintain yourself as a journey. The destination doesn't matter. But once you're language thinking, you are bound in that regard to arrive at a conclusion, because that's the nature of language. It wants to conclude things.
Roger, does doing connections help with understanding minding and thinking in wholes?
Well, I think it does. My opinion, yes.
I think it does too. Yeah.
Because you're able to take the image of one thought and carry it over to as a whole thought into another image. And so you've maintained the image, even though the focus is entirely different. By maintaining the image, you may create something entirely new.
I got you. It's completely understandable and just as clear as where you started.
That's why I say
more.
I've said before, most people are dumb as a stick. The only reason that is because you're thinking. You're not giving yourself new thoughts to think with.
Right.
You're thinking little pieces and putting them on language and to come out with some goddamn conclusion and think that's thinking. And it is thinking, but it isn't doing you any damn good. It's nothing about that is minding. Minding is rearranging wholes, which is what memory is all about.
Right. And I get the sense of, like, minding is never being lost in your thinking, never doubting or questioning. You just can describe what you're minding.
What the whole thought is that you have.
Yeah.
But when you're thinking, you got little pieces, and you keep saying, wait, I haven't finished yet. Or you haven't listened to me and you've listened, haven't heard a conclusion. I'm not giving you conclusions. I'm not trying to. If I talk about promise, I am talking about it as a process, not as a conclusion. I'm talking about it as a way of life, not as a destination. Now, when I say role, new role, are you willing to think about that you might be preparing yourself for a new and different role in life? So, we're back to that question. What does this mean to you? Anything, anybody? Before I go back in my barrel.
To me, when you say that, I think of, like, starting off this life, first time, first life, you know, no past, and living starting as a loner being. But as I live my life and say, always live only those things I'd be willing to do forever and ever, and regenerate myself, my life, my body, my life, myself.
What's your role in that?
My role would be one that I would be forever and ever and ever.
What?
It abidingly. Whatever the role is, it's one that I would be abidingly. Which is different than starting off with a loner.
But I
might not be abidingly.
But you're relying entirely upon adjectives and adverbs.
Okay.
And now you're talking about whatever my role is, I don't know what it is, but I will be that abidingly. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't tell me anything, and it doesn't tell you anything.
I thought he was saying that a change of role from being a loner to my role as an abiding being. That in itself seems to me a change in role.
But what is that role? What is that change?
That the if I understand what's been going on accurately, then that you're suggesting that the change in role is to live my
promise. I'm asking you. I'm not suggesting.
And you want to know what that promise is?
What is the role? What is your role as a loner being? What is your role as an abiding being? If you're saying that's what he's talking about, I'm asking. Okay, fine. Now, tell me what those roles are.
Okay. Well, the role as an a loner being is fulfilling happily or strugglingly the traits that were offered to me by my parents, and I try to live them out. The role as an abiding being is that I get to exercise my self authority of self on how I will be alive.
All right. Are you beginning to understand the difference between your role in life and what you're doing? You didn't really mention what you're doing. You talked about your role. That's fine. Okay, I'm now asking you, is it possible that you're preparing yourself for a new role in life? And if you didn't like last week's question, here's this week's question. What do you suppose it will be like in your new role?
Got a question?
I know. I asked a question. I'm waiting for an answer.
Different.
Well,
it will be different than what we used to.
You what?
My answer. This is struggle. It would be different.
Will you? Will you do abiding different? Will you do the role any different than loner? I doubt it.
Okay. But isn't the loner has to play different characters?
Isn't that
what the abiding self would like to experience?
I don't know. Ask Patrick.
Okay, Patrick, that goes to you then.
I think how it would be different, basically, is that I would live in the absence of any discontent. When I changed my role to abidingly living as the authority of myself.
Would you? Or would then everybody else be picking on you or objecting to what you're doing?
I have no doubt that they probably will, but in living my own authority in an abiding way, then since the way the universe only reacts, then
but people,
I will have evidence of my self living.
Let's assume that's the case. But our biggest enemies are people.
Oh, especially family. Yeah.
I don't
have an easy or quick glib answer to that. It's been kind of a part of my fear all along, is recognizing that something like that is there, but I don't think I got much that I can think of right now that would be other than living that then that will be my experience as I live my own authority. Then I will, that's what I'll be experiencing. The universe will react back to me that they're living my own authority. And when I see others balking and objecting and getting pissed off, I can see that what I am living is they see as a threat. And that confirms that I'm actually living as I desire.
Yeah, but they will abuse you.
That's okay.
I think
I can wear that kind of abuse as a bit of a badge of honor.
Do you think you can?
I think so. I do it frequently now. My politics aren't always the correct politics, and when that's being objected to, I'm okay with that.
I'll bet I could get you pissed off real quick and get you to run.
Let's not do that.
I'm not going to do it. But
I know. And I was going to comment
I have
never run across
anything except
my ex-wife. Being,
as a loner being, your emotions in little pieces catch up with you too quickly. Then all of a sudden, there you are. And it's too late to change.
Well, I think that unless you've got some kind of magic, I think that's something that already my tolerance level for that is extraordinarily different than it ever was before. And I suspect that will, you know, tolerance of other people's picky loner body stuff.
Well, is it possible that all the things you're going through today and what we're talking about, minding rather than thinking and abiding rather than loner or something like that, is preparing you for an even greater role in life?
Yes, it is.
What do you think that might be? What greater role in life would you want?
I would like to live in such a way that I act as a beacon and offer to and show a way, offer a light, shows the way, a way, not the way, a way that...
So we could say your role is being a beacon in that regard to others.
That's right, yes.
But a light in that regard is most often a warning light, like a lighthouse is a warning. So would you...
Yeah, it is. Watch out.
So
stay away
you,
from here.
So would you treat that role
but it's also
as a warning?
In other times, in other circumstances, the light reveals what's in the darkness and shows a way.
So,
my God, the Christian heritage that I came from and I'm arise out of had the Star of Bethlehem. Oh, it was a beacon. It showed the way.
So you're beginning to see the difference between role and purpose or thing you do.
I do.
What is it possible that what you are, what it is really like being you is a beacon? And you're sounding off like a foghorn sometimes?
Sure, I'll go with that.
As a warning.
Yes.
Like a foghorn?
Yeah. Stay clear. It's me.
Yes.
And if nobody hears you say it again, you'll foghorn again louder.
Mm-hmm.
But see the importance of difference between role and purpose, or doing something in life. And the difference there is just as different as between minding and thinking, between memory Y and memory S.
So memories S is a whole bunch of detail. Memory is a hole called a beacon.
Okay. Or whatever the role might be.
Yeah, well, just in this...
It's a whole new thought or concept of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So you're not what you think you are. You are more closely what you mind yourself to be, and that's a role. Then your memories only help you fill that role, fill it out. My middle boy one time did a picture puzzle. It was a round picture puzzle, so you could never find a corner to start. And It was all orange. One round orange, that's all it was. Not an orange, but it was just an orange color. You had no way to relate to anything, up or down or right or wrong, or this looks like part of the garden path and this is part of the house. There's none of that. It's just all orange. Anything you pick up is an orange piece. Where does the orange piece go? Everywhere. So, in the same kind of way, can you think of yourself always and in all ways as a beacon, as your role in life is as a beacon? It's also a protector. Gosh, gee whiz, that's like samurai who was a protector. But didn't like the action. Sacrificed the role of knowing himself. That's what a samurai was all about originally. Was like a beacon. Like a lighthouse. To protect other people from the things that were going on. So I'm going to say... You are alive, and it's reasonable to say you want to remain alive. You don't really want to die. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's reasonable.
There is an ancient story of a young man who begged for immortality, and that was granted. So he continued living, growing older and older and frailer, and more painful as the years went by. You see? He asked for and was granted immortal life, but in that he wasn't granted immortal youth. As he grew older and weaker, he finally begged to be relieved of immortality. If you see in this, if you were in his shoes today, would you seek immortality? Of what it is like being you? Isn't that what is really important?
No, I'd answer the same as I have in the past. No, I would not want that.
So, but you'd be willing to be immortally a beacon?
That's an easy choice, yes.
As your role in life. So what I'm trying to get at is in all of this is what it's like being you, and even what it would be like if you are training in the, or are preparing in this life for a new role. You understand some of this stuff. So that
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, I am beginning now.
So you can mind rather than language thinking. So you can think in wholes or in pictures or as images or as in whole feelings, not just pieces of things that you put together.
Yeah, instead of the pieces adding up to some whole, begin with the whole and decide the pieces that I want to activate.
That's right. And even the pieces are whole.
They are the whole. They are indivisible from the whole.
Everybody who answered the statement of what is it like being you gave situational answers, such as when this happens, I do this. When that happens, I do that. Or respond that way.
Yep.
But all of those answers are just a reaction and a feeling, which doesn't answer what it is like being you. Unless what is like being you is only a feeling and reaction that depends on circumstances. But I asked you, what was it like being you so that you could be like that regardless of who you are and regardless of the circumstances and conditions? And you're now saying you would like to be a beacon regardless of what others said or did, and et cetera. And regardless of who you might be Sally. And that would be okay.
And I would always be a beacon.
And that would be your role in life. Your role in life is not doing things. And your purpose in life is being and living your promise. So should I ask, would you be willing to promise from now on to be a beacon in that regard?
Wow, you've just given me some depth and sense of what promise really means.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
I put promise as a whole in that regard, in a whole context.
Right. Yeah, that's not, you didn't build up a whole bunch of pieces to get there. That is the whole concept.
Yes. You always live what it is like being you. Are you willing to always live this beacon role in life?
Yes. I got another kind of comment.
Yeah.
It seems to me that until I really answered the question you asked last week as I did, I would not have realized, as you have just pointed out, that all my answers were situational and reactions to situations.
You came before a couple of people, you came the closest to what I was talking about. But when you really look at it, it was still situational.
Yep. And that realization, and that realization is filling out in this conversation tonight.
But your role in life is not situational. That then becomes only reactive, isn't it?
That is, absolutely, and it has no power over me at all.
And you have no authority. If you are only reacting, you have no authority.
That's correct.
Oh.
I really like how you guys put that together.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So teaching forever living, is this a process or a conclusion? when you were going back to life as a journey, not a destination. So life is a process, not a conclusion. Is teaching forever living a process or a conclusion? See, you've used the teaching, the active verb, but you're really speaking only in conclusions. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah. And as I think we've been making ourselves more and more aware over the last few weeks, it's sometimes the old habit of slipping right into conclusions is hard to break.
But yeah, but I always get the, yeah, but I use the active verb. That's what I'm talking about. No, you're not. You're talking about the conclusion. In this case, forever living.
Yeah.
All right. The man was drowning, so I jumped into the river to save him. Is that a process or conclusion?
Process, I would say.
What about you, Patrick? Andrew?
Well, I think it's a conclusion. This was happening, so I did. To me, sounds like a conclusion.
Yeah. I conclude the same, Andrew.
I don't.
Oh, really?
I agree with that first responder. You're laying conclusion on to, I was concluding that the man was drowning. For Christ's sake, can't you see a guy in the river in desperate conditions? You don't have to reach conclusion. It becomes obvious.
So we can make an observation.
And that observation is itself obvious. It's not a conclusion.
Okay.
I had a friend of mine at MIT that was 6'8" tall, and he was always, these kind. The fact is, this is what happened to him, guy in a river, and he, things like this were always happening to him, and I suspect it was because he was a big target, whatever. These kinds of things of his jumping in to save somebody. Okay, what about this one? The man was drowning, so I jumped in the river and saved him. Is that a process or a conclusion? That's a conclusion, because...
Yeah, but you concluded that he was drowning.
No. The man was drowning is the same start that I had in the other sentence. But I jumped into the river. The first one was I jumped in the river to save him. And the object of jumping into the river to save him only talked more about jumping into the river.
This one was, so I saved him, which makes it a conclusion.
And saved him. Therefore, it goes to a conclusion. The first sentence doesn't conclude anything. It just talks about the action.
Oh,
to save him was just talking about modifying the action. But, and saved him concludes the action.
That's interesting.
So you got to listen carefully to even what you say and how you say it, as to whether you are talking in conclusions or whether you're talking in processes or talking about doings. Because just because you have an active verb in the sentence doesn't mean that you're talking about a process at all.
This is Trevor. Roger, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Just we use the word being in action. Would you be okay if I would use the word also situation?
The what?
Situation instead of the word action. Would that be okay with you?
You'd have to give me
or
an example.
Or what you would think is... Just the example what you just talked now. You said that was an action. with the guy jumping in the river, and not a conclusion. So I said, could that first observation be
a situation?
When you look, thank you.
But it is an action, jumped into the river.
And changing the words doesn't change what's occurring.
Yeah, don't change the words.
All you're going to do is confuse yourself.
All I'm saying is jumped into the river makes it an active past tense. But sometimes when the sentence goes on, you find out that you're not talking about an action. You're concluding the thing.
Okay, thank you.
And so you're only talking in conclusions. And this is important, and I'm going to tell you why. Doing those things you are proud of, is that a process or a conclusion? Is that a...
I think doing those things I'm proud of is all focused on my actions. It's a process.
But when I asked you about that, everybody concluded the action and said I was proud of that. But you concluded the action first. I did something, and then you were proud of the judgment of the conclusion, not of the action itself.
Yes.
All right.
And I can't get you off of that. So my question is, are you willing to think and live processes, not conclusions?
Yes.
I agree, yes.
Then if you're creating a new role in life for you, would you be willing to always be beaconing? Not warning people or teaching people something, but beaconing.
Oh, wow.
That's right, because the foghorn will be the conclusion.
We know that Pat has one hell of a foghorn.
And so you're calling that the difference between your role and your what? Your purpose?
And your purpose or thing you do in life.
Thing you do in life.
Or your judgments. Okay. I'm trying to get you out of judgments. If you think more in terms of your role, you'll get off of your judgments.
Hang on. So abiding self is second becoming. Is that a role? That sounds like more of a role, abidingly. And what and how I express could be any number of purposes.
What we can do is we can justify it any way you want to. But the way you express it, it becomes a conclusion.
Oh, really?
I think so. But then it doesn't do me any good to say that because nobody agrees. And then we go into this long argument. We get into a battle over that.
Hmm.
If you're concluding the statement, then what you're doing is living by conclusions.
I have to admit, I really struggle to hear myself concluding or know when I'm concluding.
Well, second becoming is almost like a title.
The way the man saved the other guy is a different issue, but it's already been concluded. He jumped in and saved the man. It's already been concluded.
Okay. All right.
And you're thinking in conclusions in that you're thinking of teaching forever living or showing people to second coming. You've concluded the action. Showing them what? The what you've put in
there. Way, their yeah,
shows that your focus is on the conclusion.
Oh, so even a way, even focusing on a way or showing someone a way of living their life could be a conclusion.
Of course.
Like the way.
The way, a way, this way, that way, or no way.
Actually, that's a really good point. I see that one. Okay.
Well, then pay attention to it.
Okay, I am. Yeah.
When I say, tell me six things you have done, what does that mean? Is that conclusion or a process?
That's a great question, because the things I've done are the things themselves, product, finish, done.
But everybody thinks done of it their as actions conclusions done. Instead of the process of the thing. So everybody gives you six conclusions. But what you're really asking
things
for...
Things done. You have done. Actions you have done. Processes you have done.
Oh, you don't mean... So, like, wrote a poem. You don't mean the poem itself.
I'm talking about writing in that regard.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
Of course, that's been the biggest problem with anybody. Do you understand? Are you beginning to understand? I'm thinking in these kinds of... I'm minding in these kinds of ways, in wholes and understandings, and you're thinking in little pieces. And then you, then when I question you, you turn around and justify your little damn pieces. And the reason for that is kind of like I'm having a big battle with Medicare right now. And everybody has just a little piece, but nobody has an overall view. I'm trying to get you to have an overall view of your life as your role in life, not the things you do in life.
Right.
But if you do tell me, when I say, tell me six things you have done, there's an introduction to that. What I've said is, you are always living or communioned with your eternal self or abiding self, and or your promise. And when you are that, then things have occurred in your life that you're truly proud of, things that otherwise are not as proud, the things themselves, the actions are not, you're not so proud of. But when you're communioned with promise or your abiding self or your eternal self, that adds a different dimension to everything. And that when you tell me those things that you are proud of in the action and not the consequences, not the conclusions, not the results, then I can begin to see this is when that person was communioned with their promise, with their abiding self, or with their eternal self. Call it whatever you will. And then I can begin knowing from those six things, or getting an image from those six things, what that eternal self is all about.
So it wouldn't, okay, so you would ask me, like, what I was doing in writing the poem that I was proud of. What was the action?
No, I would ask you, what is the action?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would talk only about the action. And then everybody says, well, right now I am sitting here with a cup of coffee, etc. You don't go to the actions of what we're talking about. You get to talking about the actions of what you're doing right now. And that doesn't have anything to do with what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, when you did something of this, what were the actions that you're so proud of? What were your actions in doing that thing that you're proud of? But I can't get that across to anybody. And those actions then are like mindings. They are whole things. And so when I ask you, are you willing to mind and live processes, not conclusions, and you say yes, I doubt it. I really doubt it. I don't think you could break that, get the habit of conclusions out of anybody. And so when I say do only those things you are proud of, we're talking about the action, not the conclusions. In either case, is an action, can an action be complete without it being a conclusion?
Yes, it can be an action.
It is an action. That's all I'm
asking. Yeah, an ongoing, you could even say,
he jumped into the river.
Action is a complete.
He jumped into the river is a completed action. And it has not been, that sentence has not been concluded. All right, here's another question. I keep posing some of these questions to try and get you to mind yourself differently. Can you consider God as a natural force or way in the universe that has been personified?
Say again one more time, please.
Can you consider God as a natural force or way in the universe that has been personified?
Natural force. Yes, I could, yeah.
If so, then personify promise. The self and life you are living in the same way as a personal companion and source of power and information and guidance for you and yourself and life.
Oh.
Treat your promise as a companion in that regard. And treat promise then as your guide and your source of data and information about yourself and life. As everybody says, become one with God. I'm just saying, become a companion with promise, your promise. That is your way. That's like saying to Patrick, become one with your role, your way in life, as a beacon. I'm getting a lot of static. You getting static, everybody?
We had a little bit just there, yep.
Yeah, it's just yep. There. It's just enough static to be annoying. So, are you willing to personify promise as a companion? See, you wouldn't have thought of doing that. I'm giving you that thought so that you can think in that way. Or, excuse me, so that you can mind in that way. So when I say, I think people are often dumb as a stick because you don't give yourself a new and different way to mind yourself. You think the same old stuff in the same old way. And put everything on the pattern of language. I'm trying to get you to mind. I guess we're cut off. Is anybody out there?
Yeah, we're out here, but there's some strange noises going on.
Yeah, there are.
I'm here.
So I didn't know whether we were on here or not.
We're on.
Let me ask you a question,
we're on.
Patrick.
Yeah.
Patrick?
Yes, sir.
Do you suppose it would be easier for you to maintain your role as a beacon if you had a companion to speak with all the time?
Yes. It would give real meaning to that we notion. What shall we do here?
So you understand why I speak in we all the time?
Yes.
So promise then is not only a personal companion, it's a source of power and information and guidance for yourself in life. So, if we follow this through, is that said, your promise is to be a beacon. How would you personify that in your mind? What would that be like?
Facetiously, I see myself as a lighthouse. That's the image that comes to mind most quickly, and personify it, that somehow or other I carry with me a light. I shed light.
Yeah, but I'm asking you about your companion.
Oh, as a companion.
Yes.
Oh, that's personifying that, and that.
What is your companion like?
Ever present, with me, and wise, full of ideas.
Is
fully cooperative and
is your
with
promise,
me all the time.
Would your promise then be like a beacon for you?
Yeah,
very much so.
Would your promise then be able to show you how to be a beacon for somebody else?
Gee, it doesn't seem as much like that at all anymore. The more we talk about it, that it's...
Well, I'm just saying, could you personalize promise in that way?
Yeah.
Because...
Yes, that I could, yes.
If your role or way in life is promise, and it is as a beacon, then promise, you would personalize promise as a companion that serves as a beacon for you.
That's correct, yes. Yes, the more I think about that, yes, I can do that.
Is it possible that the companion you have today is a samurai, an adversary, rather than a companion?
Yeah, it's demanding, challenging, always after my butt, yep. What an interesting way of, you know, this, again, thinking in holes that just created a picture, a thought of samurai in that way. That's entirely different than I've ever seen it before, and it fits.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I say, you don't give yourself ways and manners to mind. You're always thinking in little pieces and setting that on a pattern of language, and so you're only languaging conclusions.
Yeah.
So you're always judging conclusions, because you never judge the action, you only judge the conclusions.
Ain't that a fact? Yep.
I'm trying to give you a new way to mind your life, to think of the ways to mind in wholes rather than in little teeny pieces. Because you don't really know how those pieces fit together throughout your life. Fact is, I told you this a long time ago when we did a gathering here about, and I used picture puzzle pieces and said, what would you do if you didn't have the top of the box with a picture to work with? See, you, when you're dealing with memories and pieces, you need to have some kind of a picture. So you try to get a conclusion to give yourself a picture. I want you to mind yourself a role in life, and let that be your picture.
And ain't it the same then that the way we used to, or maybe, yeah, the way we used to, we being the folks who tune into your stuff, would look at a dream is we would, certainly I would, I'd rush to the end of the dream to try to find out what the conclusion was and then try to backtrack from that conclusion.
And then you'd lay that conclusion over every action in the front.
That's right. That's exactly it.
And you'd try to make the action fit the conclusion.
Yep.
That's cause and effecting.
Yep.
Which it never does. So, what is it like being you? What is your role in life?
And as I think we've mentioned before, that in the absence of having that image, then I am stuck with reacting to circumstance.
That's right. There's nothing else you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're emotionally reacting to everything that happens, and that's all you are doing, Ben, in that regard, is reacting to. Let's assume for a minute that you personified the universe and asked the universe, Mr. Universe, what is it like being you? What do you think the universe would say?
I react to your every reaction.
I'm always reacting.
Uh-huh.
Same sort of thing. But you tried to make it situational.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it eternal or abiding. I'm always reacting.
That's life.
Always
that's
and only.
Life.
So what it is like being you must be like a truth, that it is always and in all ways true, or it isn't what it is like being you. If you give me a situational answer, that's not what it's like being you. Nor if you give me a limited answer and don't set the limitations.
So the answer must be universal.
Right. It's what I said before. Because what is it like being you, no matter who you are, no matter what the conditions are? Now are you beginning to understand why before we were talking about a universal self?
Yep. That's what came to mind.
Or vast self. In that regard, it's universal. But you see, you can give me an answer to that universal.
Yep.
If I ask you this in your next lifetime, let's see if I get a beacon answer.
Yeah.
Let's assume then that, as I said, maybe you're preparing to live a new and different role in life. What if I said your role, you haven't told me, is being a beacon? Then what is it like being you?
I'm always beaconing.
Okay. You're always what?
A beacon.
Would that be like doing things that makes people see that he's a beacon?
Are you doing things that they can see you as a beacon? Or are you doing things to make them see themselves as a beacon? Which would you choose?
The latter of the two.
My question to you is, I don't believe it. My statement is, I don't believe it.
You don't believe that?
That's the answer. I think that that's a thinking answer that it is good, right, better to take the door number two than door number one.
Actually, going back to our previous conversation tonight, just 10 minutes.
If it's your role in life, then you always be a beacon. It doesn't mean you show others that they are a beacon. That's thinking talk. That's judgment talk. Sounds good, but it's not you.
No.
What's wrong with always being a beacon? Why isn't that enough?
There's nothing good or better, bester about it. That's right. That trap is so easy to fall into.
Just a matter of being a beacon. That's your role in life. Now be it. That's your promise in life. Now do it. You don't have to do anything for somebody else in order for that to be good, right, better, best, do you?
No.
Then but there is a way of his beaconing.
Huh?
There is a way of his beaconing. That's his way.
But, okay, that's different. How he does the beaconing, but he doesn't have to do it by teaching others or showing others that they are
not
a beacon or anything.
Okay, Roger, I got a question here. Is beacon like promise?
Yes, that role is
damn
promise.
Straight.
Your role is your promise in life.
Right. Whether he's showing others or not,
he's always
being a beacon. Whether he's a foghorn or a light across the distance, he's a beacon. Okay.
You can do that in little ways or big ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like the old example of cutting grass.
What's the old example of cutting grass? I'm not familiar with it.
You can cut the grass using a great big,
mower,
or you can cut the grass with a little scissor and do it one blade at a time. You're still cutting the grass.
Okay. Okay, Roger. So, this is tricky for me. Is promise like an identity, or is identity something different even than promise?
No. See, you asked me two questions.
I know.
And I answered the last. What?
Okay, you answered which one? Identity, something different.
No. Promise and identity are the same.
Okay, thank you.
That's your true identity. That isn't the identity of appearances.
Okay. Here's something, Raj, here's something I've realized tonight. I mean, I've been with this almost 20 years. I've always been looking for, a way as a conclusion.
That's right.
Just realized that. Right. Now, I just realized a lot of my struggles have been tied up in that. So what then is a beacon such, I'm assuming that a promise is never a conclusion.
Okay, let's assume that.
Oh, I see, because beaconing is an action. It's never a conclusion.
Yes.
As a beacon, is he preparing for another role?
Probably.
Interesting.
Or he may stay in that role.
So it's definitely... Sorry?
Or he may stay in that role.
I got you, but even if he stays in that, it's not a conclusion.
No. If he concludes it, he's ruined it.
All right.
Well, then he's not beaconing.
Now, I have a role that is a little more, little less universal. It's universal, but it sounds less universal. Because I'm talking in terms of particular universal. My role is to be the chief justice of a new religion.
That's interesting.
What is a chief justice?
Depending, I guess that would have to depend on the new religion. And the new religion in this regard is that everything is divine. There is no civil law and civil living and divine law or divine living. The religion, everything is divine, like as in abiding self. Everything is divine, and everyone lives by their own authority. But you can see where, with everybody living by their own authority, you could have clashes of authority.
Yes.
So my role would be the chief justice in resolving such clashes. So I can, that's a universal, because I haven't said any particular about it, but I've made it sort of particular in the sense of the way I have described it. So you don't have to describe it, you're not limited to a universal that's so universal that it's meaningless. You can describe it as a particular universal. Like he could describe his beaconing in a more particular universal as well. Beaconing in terms of a feedback system or something of that like. Well, I'm bringing this up because if we don't get off of our language arguments, I'm through. And if you want to see where this will go from where we're talking about, then I'm willing to do that. But I'm tired of language arguments. I want minding. I want minding in lumps. In pictures or in holes or in something. Not in little pieces that fit together like language fits together. I'm not interested in that. If I talk about roles or promises, I want you to think of your role or your promises in life. Not in pieces of how you might discover your role and promises in life, but think in terms of what your role and promises are in life. And what all that means about what it is like being you. If you think in terms of your role in life, aren't you then in that then thinking about what it is like being you? If you think about your role as a beacon, then that immediately conveys to you what it is like being you. And it doesn't have to be a lighthouse. That could be just one.
Oh, yeah.
But let's consider that. It is a role as a beacon, or a promise as a beacon. Does that make you, does that change the nature of your life today? Would that change your life today? And how you
actually, yes.
And how you and it, feel about your life today?
And yeah, how I feel about my life today, and it gives me my own sense of meaning and fulfillment. I don't know about, yeah, maybe the fulfillment right now, but of what life is about and what I'm.
Give you an identity that you don't have?
Oh yeah, it seems to be function as a string that pulls together a whole bunch of things.
So my question, is it possible then if you took on that role and lived that role or promise that you might experience, hey, this is familiar, I've done this before. And then
yes, absolutely.
And in that, your experience continuing?
And in that, yes, I would experience continuing.
Well, then you're beginning to understand what I've been trying to get at for months here.
Yeah.
And that would be a continuing role for you, wouldn't it? Not necessarily a continuous role for you, but a continuing role for you.
Absolutely. And now I can see what you've been talking about, being able to recognize and saying, this is familiar, holy crow, this has been going on for a long time.
That's right. And you can see how at certain times when you would distort the awareness of that role as a samurai, or distort that role as a pilot, or maybe you fulfilled that role as a judge in Rome, more so.
Yeah.
So you can begin understanding this, that this is not a new role or a new promise. You've probably promised this role for a long time. Then, well, let me ask you this question. how would you live Gabriel in this role, or how would you put Masters into this role?
Well, I think what comes to mind, Gabriel, for me, ends up that instead of looking at Gabriel as a messenger carrying a specific message, then I would see it that Gabriel is the message and is the beacon.
Okay.
And similarly, Masters is so much that it's the coming to terms with being the beacon, and not the beacon, being a beacon.
Coming to terms? What do you mean by that? I think I know.
Well, it means like that what I've struggled with in this lifetime was pushing that away and not comfortably living that, living as a beacon.
No, I think you were trying to get acknowledged for that.
You mean in this life?
Yes.
Ah, okay. I think you're onto something there.
And that you want the acknowledgement of being a beacon.
And that's where Masters, that was another distortion of Masters.
That's a distortion of anything, everything.
But I mean, as the image that I created of Masters was an attempt to give myself recognition.
Isn't that also part of your political consultant situation?
Oh, very much so. Remember my dream of a few weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago, that the driving ambition of being a political consultant is to be a big gun.
You see?
Yep.
Okay, well, this is the direction I'm going in. If you all gotta go, come along, tune in.
I'm with you there, buddy.
If you don't want to go this way, go your own role. Go your own way. But I'm telling you right now, it needs to, for us to consider more minding and less languaging.
Mm-hmm.
Minding is like describing the picture you have. Speak in wholes by describing it. Language is just giving a bunch of pieces and putting them together in the pattern of language and say, there. Now, don't you understand? No, I don't understand. And you've kept the picture hidden and only exposed pieces. I'm only interested in the whole. Is it possible that your personal self today is but a small piece of you, and that everything we've talked about so far, eternal self, personal self, illuminated self, privileged self, universal self, abiding self, are all just small language pieces?
Yes, very possible. Wes, I think you've hinted at that a lot over the years.
Well, what role might how could you go about putting those into a greater picture or role or awareness of yourself? could you understand promise as being is a communion between personal and eternal? And what we're talking about here is it's like eternally personal. Like when I say, when you do this and you experience yourself, yeah, I've done this before. It's the personal aspect of yourself, but it is an awareness of your universal or eternal self.
That makes sense to me, yeah.
And you've ignored that. You keep focused only upon the personal things you're doing. And
right.
Then you're judging those as being good, better, best, right, or wrong.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to use those as stepping stones to a bigger conclusion.
Right. Or yeah. better get a better judgment from others of yourself.
Yeah.
It's a play game.
Mm-hmm.
And your loner being just enables you to join in the play game.
Mm.
Then the question is, in doing this, in awareness of your role in life, you overcome your loner self very quickly.
Oh, I see, right. You have, yeah, an identity that's other than the loner one that you just took up to live.
Your identity then becomes, in a sense, and in fact, an eternal identity. That's who you are.
Yeah.
And that you're always that way. You live that self evidently.
Okay. Interesting.
It gives you a greater perspective of yourself and of your life. Anybody still with me? Or have we lost?
Yes, sir. Yeah, actually.
Good.
Yes.
Yes, right here.
Okay. So, my question to you, is it possible for you to say that or to understand that what you do in life to fulfill your role doesn't really matter? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So you're not just...
As long as you...
What?
As long as you're doing it, right? I mean,
no, it's being and living that role, but how you do that doesn't really matter.
Right, as long as you're living it.
There's no it to live.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Language crap.
Okay, as long as you...
There's no it to live. Can you understand that question answer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
I think wouldn't be live it be the conclusion already?
Yes, so there's no it to live. If you try to think that there is an it to live, then you are concluding and then trying to live that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're trying to be acknowledged for doing that.
Or you're judging whether you are or are not.
And you're judging it all to hell.
Right, I got you.
So there is no promise to live. The promise is your living.
Mm-hmm.
There's no role to live. There's no right role or wrong role or good role or bad role or better role either. There is just your role. there is no particular beginning for Patrick to be or live.
It's how he wants to
what?
Be and live, right?
What?
I'm sorry, I see something. I don't know if I want to say it this way. It's his living, but
yeah. Like, but you see how difficult that is to.
I know. I see something, and I know I'm gonna screw it up with the way I'm saying it.
Describe it.
There's a choice. Okay. Right. I see Patrick being a beacon, and he. Never mind.
See, our problem is with language, we try to conclude that and get a picture of that and then cause that to occur. And then we judge ourselves.
Yeah, I have this. Okay, I'm just going to kind of, I'm gonna stumble through something here. I have a sense of not choosing it to be it, but, oh, crap, how do I say that? Never mind.
If you did all things as you'd be willing to be and live eternally, like willing to be a beacon and live eternally as a beacon, you don't know what that necessarily is. But if you always did that, in that regard, you would finally be able to look at what you're doing and see that. There is no that to live, but in living that is it.
See, I understand why you did the words that way, yeah.
And there's no good, better, right, or better, best, or good, evil in any of that. So it's living that without judgment. See, he could have lived that as a samurai in that regard, but he laid the judgments on it and screwed it all up.
So, Raj, what happens to this thing if I say it's the way he chooses to live?
Because then you're looking at the way he chooses to live as a conclusion and then judging that as to whether that is if he's living as a beacon.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, right. It sounds real funny. It doesn't sound like what you're talking about. Okay.
Well, it's a little difficult to understand because I'm trying to get you out of language and into languaging or thinking and into minding.
Yep.
But then in order to communicate it, you put it back into languaging. And that's difficult. It's difficult.
Right, but if at least we have the image that we're working off of, I think we could describe okay.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm trying to say.
And right.
I have the same problem. Converting the image to language or languaging picture that you can understand is difficult.
I know, because if you try to talk about an action, if I put that in language, that's not what you're talking about. And if you try to describe it as a noun, that's not what you're talking about.
See?
Yeah, right.
So we can say that his role doesn't even exist. You have to make your role in the universe. For yourself, in a business, or in a universe, or in a relationship, or in a situation, your role doesn't exist.
Right. I have to make it. What if I was to say, yeah, Raj, you enliven your role in the universe?
No, because when you say enliven in that regard, you mean the role was there, you just make it active. And I say, no, it doesn't even exist.
I hear what you're saying.
You have to actually create in any job or in any firm, you either accept your role, that's it, like mm-hmm. a loner self, or you, no matter, you got the job, now make your role, a role for yourself in the job, in the firm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, and this is, right.
Does that make sense?
I was always pursuing this as something that existed.
Yes.
That's been my big problem.
That's right.
I mean, that's been a struggle to find that.
And then you're
it's
trying
not
to find
you
your
can find.
Find your role rather than make your role.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's not something you can find. That's interesting, though, that you make it. That
you
sure,
make
it up and make it real.
By your own authority.
Yeah, see, it starts all fitting together, doesn't it?
What?
It starts all fitting together real easy, doesn't it? Authority and...
That's right.
Promise and privilege and make it up and make it real all starts fitting together real easy.
That's right.
It's neat.
Okay. Well, there, that's close enough to 7 o'clock, or 8 o'clock for us. 10 o'clock for anybody else.
11 o'clock out here.
11 o'clock for somewhere out there.
Way across the blue water.
But remember...
Well, thanks, everybody. That was really neat.
Yes, Roger. That was absolutely superb. Thank you.
Well, it's like I told Miss M. Well, I guess we'll see what tonight's going to be. I'm glad we didn't get
into... It turned out pretty good, eh, Miss M?
Yep.
But I'm glad we didn't get into long language disputes.
Yeah, me too.
I've got that kind of shit going on right now with the Attorney General in Washington and Medicare in California and in Baltimore and locally. Everybody has a little piece of the big picture. And I'm trying to get you to always be aware of the big picture. Then the pieces don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to make the big picture.
Well, that's for you to make.
Right.
And to promise then. And then you, no yep. matter what you do, then you're always living that big picture, whether you realize it or not.
Mm.
And you don't have to justify or rationalize your picture. That
mm-hmm.
is your picture. That is your role. You may have difficulty creating the role you want in a firm or in a position.
Or in a
but
relationship.
You have no problem at all creating the role, whatever role you desire in life. And that's your promise. Okay, gonna leave you now.